Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, only on LA Talk Radio. Hello, shalom everybody. Shalom, hello. Did I say hello? It is Sunday. We are on the Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. And I'm your host, too. And we are here to really, I mean, in a way, it's looking at the entire week and bringing the week to slightly the event or the way that we were during the week slightly to a halt. The halt in order for us to continue further, at least hopefully more mindfully. And so we focus here on our communication. Communication is a big issue for everybody in different ways, shapes, or forms. And communication, it's not necessarily communication on how do I talk to that person I work with, or how do I talk to, but especially first of all, how do we talk to ourselves? How do you talk to yourself? How do you look at yourself or at your actions? How do you make choices once you've maybe judged yourself? Do we make choices from a place of fear, from a place of judgment? And many times it's not that obvious. You know, I'm talking about this now. And but it's not many times obvious. So we'll get to that, and we'll talk about different things. But first of all, הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment of love your neighbor, friend, partner, in the same way, in the same expression that you love yourself. And I always have to remind myself, not because necessarily I can't remember, but because we are in a humanoid condition. So it is, we are often between our spiritual and our bodily existence. How do we synthesize, or how we synergize everything? So it's first of all with ourselves. First of all, it is the focus of that sentence. Unlike maybe what we are told or thought when we were kids, you have to give your other cheek, and you have to do all these kind of things, which have a very strong point and very strong validity, validation in the perception of it and doing it. But really, if we don't understand what we're doing, but just doing something because we were told to do, then we grow up and we go into the world and we acquire more experiences that are telling us what to do. And then we end up living a story of somebody else because somebody else told us what to do, or somebody else told us how we can or we cannot do something, or we're good at or we're not good at. And many times this is the starting point of our going out to the world. Before, I just want to give you the phone number, and what I want to encourage you to do is to call and to ask questions and to talk about whatever you want to talk about, that ultimately it will all lead into the same place of how do we see things. Anything that you will call and say, discrediting or belittling what you're going through or what you're experiencing, not at all, but on the contrary, is to see that everything that we experience in this level is all coming from a deeper level. But the phone number is 323 323-0815, 323-203-0815. That is here, calling in directly to the station, so calling in here to my board. So if you want to call, laugh, cry, tell me what's going on, share what's going on and how we can look at that, and I'll be happy to do that. That's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for. So focusing on yourself many times is really, actually all the time, focusing on yourself, not from a place of an ego, but from a place of how am I growing myself? How am I more authentic to my goal, my desire, my wants, my wishes, my will? Where is my will directed at? Where is the energy that I want is directed at? And where that is directed, meaning am I focusing on a symptom in a relationship or work? Or am I focusing on the core? Focusing on the core itself, on the core of the issue. And I will talk about her film a little bit later, but I've sat this morning with a wonderful lady, Julie Bergman, and she is a documentarian and producer, and I'll tell you about this. But we talked about a very interesting topic. And she said, you know, what happens when we are little? You know, when we're little, babies, right? The baby starts crying. The baby starts crying. And the parent is, they have to do work, or they want to sleep, or it's just inconvenient for the parent to have the baby cry at this particular moment in time. So what is the standard or more default reaction that many do? You stick a plastic thing in their mouth. Stick a pacifier. So what is happening here? So the baby is crying because something is going on with the baby. It doesn't have to be necessarily a baby, but that's where it starts. I have three kids. I know how the story goes. So I just want you to know that. I've been to that movie before. And so we stick a pacifier into our child's mouth because we don't want them to cry. So the baby is learning that their needs are being pacified, meaning are being suppressed or oppressed, right? They're suppressed by the oppressor. No negative things here, just it is what it is, and there is a consequence to something that happened. So there is a consequence to something that happened. So the pacifier really is suppressing the expression of the baby. And the reason the expression of the baby or the need of the baby is not met, because the baby, right, doesn't have the tools to express except for crying. So when I stick a pacifier in a baby's mouth, the baby is like, oh, when I need something, when I cry, I shouldn't, because the pacifier is in my mouth. Well, what happens sometimes is that when the baby gets uncomfortable, or as the baby grows, or the child grows, it's almost like the automatic default when we want comfort, or when we want to feel secure, or we want to feel safe, is to go to the pacifier. Or as we get, when we are adults, we close up, we look for our safe space. We look for this place that nobody can hurt us, nobody can come close to us, Nobody can see that we are vulnerable because we have a pacifier in our mouth. And now the pacifier that we have in our mouth is our shield. It's only our perception of a shield. And I'm talking about perception now because now we're grown as an adult. It's a perception that retracting to a certain space is our shield. And we may not, and you may not be aware of that, that this is happening. And we can say, oh, this is me. It's like somebody that would say, oh, I'm an angry person. You make me angry. But really, you're experiencing anger. It's not that you are an angry person. You are love and light. You are the contraction of the divine infinite, even infinite light. Saying infinite light is also putting the creation and the light into a box. But we'll get to that. Why not infinite light? Yes, I don't want people to think that, well, I can't control what you think, right? So, but we'll explain that. I'll explain that, the infinite light thing. But as a baby, we're being pacified to ignore what we're experiencing. So the pacifier, if we just look at what it is not really fixing anything. It quote unquote fixes the symptom, but really doesn't deal with what is going on. So as the baby grows, or as a child grows, we grow with dependencies, we grow with something external that will make me happy. That pacifier, if I don't have that pacifier, I'm going to scream. So then it translates, if I don't have that toy, I'm going to scream. Or if I don't have that thing, I'm going to scream. And that's uncomfortable. So there comes the pacifier. So you know what it's like? It's like, in contrast, but it's like when we have, when you have a headache. You have a headache, you're in the middle of work, or you have a headache, you didn't drink well, you didn't have enough sugar intake. Something is happening. You have stress, you're anxious about something that didn't happen. What do you do? Many times, we'll just take a pill. Give me a headache pill. Give me a couple of Advils. Give me Advils and this. And I don't know, this is what I want to share. You know, what the pill actually does, it doesn't really take the reason for the headache away. So the pill actually works on the pain receptors in our brain. And the pain receptors, it numbs the pain receptor. It diverts the pain receptor to tell yourself, I don't have pain. So suddenly, you don't have pain. Think about monks' initiations that walk on fire or go up to the top of a frozen, of an icy mountain and generate heat with their body 30 feet around them so they can melt the ice. These are actually practices. Right? So we look at these things. And we look at these things and we say, well, I'm in this situation. I'm in this place. I'm taking a pill. I have a headache. The pain receptor is gone. Are you really treating what the body is telling you? The reason we have a headache is either we didn't sleep well, we didn't get enough oxygen to our brain, or, you know, sleep apnea, you snore, whatever. You don't get enough, you don't sleep right, or you don't sleep at all, you don't eat well, don't drink well, or enough nutrients to our body to feed our body and to nourish our body. So there are all these basic things that the body is saying, okay, red alert, red alert. Your car, it's like your car says red alert, low on oil or low on gas. If you don't put gas, car will stop. If you don't put oil, right? So this is what the body is telling us when we have a headache or any other pain. It tells us something is going on. So when we take a pill, we're really just silencing the feeling of that discomfort. very, very, very typical of this Western culture. Hey, take a pill. I have a head. Take a pill. But, you know, I really wanted to go. Take a pill. I got a pill for that. You know, it's like the sentence, I got an app for that. I got a pill for that. This is how it is here. This is the system. This is this medical, Western medical system is to try and keep you in the system, sick. But that's a whole different thing. But the same thing with the baby. The analogy of the baby, or it's not necessarily an analogy. It's an analogy for the sake of the idea, but it's really happening. So we grow up with those actions that are imprinted in us. And so we were talking about this, and we were talking about how this affects our growth altogether. And of course, it depends the environment that we grow up in. That affects not just our perception about ourselves, but about our bodies, about our communication, about the person that stands in front of us. And how do we deal in relationships? In relationships when something is uncomfortable. When something is uncomfortable, you don't have to be long time into a relationship. It can come up very, very much upfront. It's how do we deal with that? How do we deal with something that is uncomfortable? And I've noticed here when I, since I've been here in LA, getting close to people and people are allowing themselves at first to be vulnerable. And then the fear comes in. So the vulnerable, what does the stage of vulnerability does? That is the stage of uncomfortableness, if that's a word, you know? But if it's not, it's now. It now is. Uncomfortableness. And and you get to a place of uncomfort. Why it is uncomfort? Because in here we're not taught or encouraged, actually. Encouraged. I like that encouraged better, because encouraging encourages you to think, encourages you to feel, not being taught how to feel, not being taught how to think, but allowing you, allowing us to grow and develop our own sense through guidance. But we're not taught, for the most part, in the Western society to deal with stuff. Is to take a pill. Take a pill for everything. Literally and figuratively. Take a pill for everything. And then one day, one shiny, rainy, summery, wintry day, you wake up, and the person who wasn't near you for the last months, years, is not there. Or you are not there. Why? Because it came to a raft. It came to a certain point that you said, okay, until here. Now there are many. I don't want to put everything into one big blanket. Everything happens like this. Of course it's not. We're dynamic. Life is dynamic. So are we. You know, we are not our thoughts. We are changing all the time, and nothing is permanent except for change. Nothing is permanent in life. Everything shifts. Everything is dynamic. Everything changes. Everything goes around, up and down, all around. But there is a situation where many times we are trying to fulfill in our relationships today as adults what we didn't receive when we were a child throughout our upbringing. So we don't fulfill them. We come to an uncomfortable place many times. We just, oh, it's too much. I'm gone. Well, then we look at where did you come from when you chose to begin with in that relationship? What place were you in? Were you choosing a person that would feed your fear, your patterns, what you're familiar with, that would feed it, in the sense of if somebody has in a relationship, one person has a fear of that somebody is cheating on them, or because they were cheated on, or because there was something that caused a traumatic event in that previous relationship. Many times we go into a new relationship and we dump on that person in front of us, we dump all our fears. We dump all our fears on that person. So for example, I can tell of my own private personal experience, a connection that I had, and the lady really wanted to see my phone because her experiences of somebody that was using the phone all the time for a long period of times to text other women and so forth. So here is somebody that we met and within a period of 2 days there was this fierce desire from her side to see and to know everything and to see and to feed that fear. So what is happening here, a person comes into a relationship or some kind of a connection with a predisposition that person is guilty, show me why not. It's like what I heard in England, I don't know if it's right, but unlike here where you have to prove someone guilty until then they're innocent, I don't know if it's true in England, but I heard that it's the other way around. You're guilty until you're proven innocent. So, you know, I'll have to check that. But this is something that sometimes you can come into a relationship, and this is the experience that I had. Because I've seen this before, and because I've experienced this, and the work that I do that I work with women to reclaim their power and shed what doesn't serve in the goal of a life and live your life fully, whether you're in the midst of a divorce or a separation or any kind of a post-traumatic event, to take these experiences and to transcend them. So because of that, it helped me to see that this wasn't about me. Now, there are two to tango, but in this particular case, it was something that came from the external, put a cloud or put something, a third esoteric entity in this relationship, and it created a lot of other effects and so forth. And then you wake up and the person is gone because they did not have the tools to express really what was bothering and what really caused that place of coming into a vulnerable place, untrusting. Then you cannot be vulnerable, and you cannot allow yourself to be vulnerable because you already are dispositioned to be non-trusting. And trust is so, we're so saturated, we so much want that. We yearn to this so much, to the trust. We yearn trust, and we yearn for being vulnerable. We yearn for being connected. We yearn for being together. We yearn for creating a connection, a relationship. And yet we are afraid of it many times. If we are not conscious of what we choose and true to our truth, it's being true to our truth. It's when we are true to ourselves, and ourselves is quite a long, sometimes a long journey of discovery, but it's not that long. It's just all those filters that make it long. It's all those side roads that make the connection to our truth long or lengthy. So when we are in that place of true with ourselves, then we can express, and we have tools to express and to understand where things are coming from. And it's hard when we go through separation, or when we go through a break in communication in a relationship, and you ask yourself, well, why am I here? Why is this? What's happening here? Or you get up after 6 months, a year, and you say, well, I don't love you anymore. Bye-bye. What is happening here, really? Okay, yeah, okay, we're not together. Okay, it doesn't work. It's, you know, if you're adults and you look at things and you say, okay, this just doesn't work because I'm here, you are here, and we can't seem to bridge our goals, then okay. But sometimes it's not that, as we know many times, it's not that easy. That's why the attorneys have a lot of work, because there are divorces, and then there are the instigations of the attorneys to keep you in that system, and they see that attorneys, family law attorneys, not everybody, but this is the system that I've experienced also in my own personal story with family law and divorce. They want to keep you in the system. The family law court, I'm talking especially in California, but then also in other states, and not just in America, but in other countries, is to keep you in the system, to keep you buying a house for an attorney. And many times you're not dealing with the actual partner. You are dealing with the instigation of the attorney that infiltrated your ex-partner's mind and psyche, because they know that they can do that. And through them, they transmit a reaction that gets exactly what they want, you in their net. And how many times did you get a letter from the opposing counsel when you're in the midst of a divorce, right on Friday? Right? Why? Because now you have the weekend, because they want you to drill yourself on the weekend and to just be anxious and to create this. You can't do anything. It's the weekend. There's no attorneys, no courts, nothing. And so you are developing this. And I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you who are going through this kind of separation or this kind of detachment. And you don't know that it's a detachment yet. It's just going, you are inside this process. If you are in this place, the number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. If you are in the process, you're separating from your husband, or you're separating from your wife, or partner, or girlfriend, boyfriend, and you are in this process of, you feel that you are sucked into that story, please call and share. And maybe we can find a way to talk later about this, but to hear what you have to share. And this is what it comes down to. How do we look at things? And so they send you these letters on Friday, and you're being sucked into the process, and now you can't do anything until you talk to your attorney, until you talk to this counselor, until you do this, until you... Suddenly, slowly, you realize that your power of making a conscious choice is evaporating. Why? Because we were taught, we were pushed, we were shoved, we were commercialized to need the system. To need. And what is happening when we allow the need to be so dominant in our life? It's like with an addiction, but that's in this content. We need something. It takes our power away. It takes your power away. Especially as a woman today, and more like so in previous years and in the thousands of years. because of the feminine, the fear from the feminine power, the fear from the feminine divinity, the fear from what can happen if we lose power. Oh my God, I'm losing power. And then what somebody who is afraid to lose power, what do? They assert, try to assert more power. So there will be more something to be afraid of. So this is exactly like the pacifier story. There is something, go to your attorney, take a pill, take a pacifier. See, everything is external. Everything is external. Do this, buy this car, this will make you happy. Yeah, you're driving a boat, this makes you happy. Right? A boat, like, well, one of those big cars, whatever. You're driving a boat, this is going to make you happy. Get these shoes, it's going to make you happy. Go to this party, you need to be seen. That's going to make you happy. And then, at the end of the night, under the blanket, when nobody else sees you, you are there, almost for the first time with yourself. And because it can be too much, you go to sleep. And then we wake up in the morning, and let's put our smiling face again. So what happens with this shocking event that can happen when you are with somebody, and what appears to be suddenly, but of course it's a gradual thing of things, the person goes, and what happens? You feel like the ground has been swept from underneath your feet. I know, I've been in both places, on the sweeping and on the swipee, if you will. The swiper and the swipee. There you go. And that's interesting. That brings up another topic about relationships that I've experienced. I will talk about this. But before that, I want to bring into this point a very a song. The song is written by Matti Kaspi, a mentor and musician that created history in the Israeli music, and his classes are being taught in the universities, and he's still, thank God, still alive, and is playing and kicking music. But one of his songs is called Lo Yadati Shetelchi Mimeni, I didn't know that you'll just walk out. And the song is by a wonderful young Israeli musician, Itai Jaufi. Itai is in Hebrew, Ethan is in English, Jaufi, J-E-R-U-F-I, F like Frank, I. And he sings this, I Never Thought That You Will Leave Me, by Matti Kaspi. Itai Jaufi, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful voice.
שתלכי ממני בלי לומר מילה, בלי להזהיר. לא חלמתי שפתאום יקני רם שכזה ביום בהיר, ואני תמיד תמיד חשבתי שרים כמונו אין, ובדמיוני לראות אהבתי איך ביחד נזדקן. הכל קורה הלילה, אין עונה בטוח
יפה בבוקר כמו שינה. לא הייתי לצידך מתוח. לא, 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 פיתחתי דרך הגדה. ואולי את עוד מעט חוזרת. רק הלך לקנות כמה דברים. ונלך לראות ביחד איזה סרט. או נחליט שנשארים.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Itai. It was lovely meeting you. It was great. And so, we talk about these things that are happening that is like that pacifier, that need for that outside, for that that eventually we're being taught to need that something. To need that pill, so to speak, right? So what I wanted to talk about before, just before we went out for the song, one tool that I use with my clients and work and part of the work that I do is working with. The main work that I do is working with women that are ready and desire to reclaim their power. The desire comes after the realization and acceptance of where you are and where this desire is coming from. It's not necessarily, oh, I have desire to eat, so I'm going to eat. No, this is a recognition and understand and acceptance and recognition of you without filters. There's the forgiveness. These are the four steps. There's acceptance, there's the forgiveness, and the forgiveness of how you were and how things how you saw things and how you made choices about certain things, what people did and how you looked at them and how the judgment was from your part to them. And are you accepting? Are you forgiving? When we forgive, actually, what is happening, it's like the automatic response to that, or like is releasing. And what do we release? We release all this energy that occupied our space, that brought us to a place of either tension or anxiety or depression, or all these emotions that when we are succumbing to them, they bring the negative side of things up. When we allow these emotions, either anger or frustration, or somebody says something that triggers, and we go into that, we allow that, we're really losing it. And so we are releasing these toxic energies. So there is the acceptance of you, of where you are, of understanding that you, my dear, are exactly where you have to be. Nobody's running after you. And also, if somebody is running after you, let them run. That's okay. This is not, you don't feel comfortable or something about that. It's not to say that to let you be, because you're always going to be comfortable. And sometimes we need an encouragement, a guide, a counselor, a coach, a mentor, to help us nudge ourselves from this stagnated place. Many times we stagnate, we procrastinate. So sometimes we need, and we find this all along the way. If we are only aware and we pay attention, we find it in people that are coming into our lives, what people are triggering within us, and what people we meet. And you know, everything is tied in together. So how we feel is like inviting those people that mirror that place that we're in. So if we are in negative space, we're most likely going to attract those who inhabit the space as well. So we have the acceptance of where we are, the understanding, the trust in ourselves, the trust that everything is fine. Not is going to be fine, is fine. Because every situation that we're in, every place that we're in, is an opportunity for us to grow. You know, in Kabbalah and in Judaism, but in Kabbalah, it really, the sages are talking about, one needs to look as if the world was created just for you. My addition to it is that, yes, and it's not all about you. So the world was created specifically, individually for each one of us. The universe is here to support us. The universe is here to support you in the journey, in the desire to grow, in the desire to be, in the desire to give. And yet it's not all about us, in the sense of, it's not all about you, in the sense of, it's not about your egoic need or desire. That egoic place where it comes either from fear, because I want to feel that you're not lying, then show me your phone. For example, like we talked earlier, it's not coming from the place of the need, that this need, the more you satisfy it, the more you'll want. When we are in a place of need, I need you to show me, prove to me that you are not this. Prove to me that you are not this. Prove to me that you are not this. Where is this coming from? Does that mean that if you met a guy, and or you met a lady, and each one of you, the other side, wants you to prove to them, you need to prove to, did you have that? Did you experience this? That you need to prove to the other side that you are okay. And you have, and there was nothing that gave a reason from the concept, from the time period of you being together. There was no indication for any of these things to happen. But this is a pure bring over. The luggage that we bring all the time from other relationships. Relationship luggage. And we bring over and we dump it on our people that we meet because of our experiences. Our experiences. So this place is, if we feel that you need to prove yourself, that you need to prove that you are not, because that person is fearful, because most of the time it's really not about you. It's about them. It's about them and the fact that they didn't have access to the tools to understand that it is about them. And it's not about shifting responsibility on the other person. Oh, it's your fault. Oh, it's you. It's all about you. Because there are some like this that will take you to that place. So nothing is about me, because nothing is about, it's all you. You brought, it's all about you, it's about you, it's about you, it's about, it's not about me. Well, that shows also a lot about you if you say that all the time, because it's kind of a fine line. You can say that and get sucked into, oh, it's about you, it's about you, you bring it over, and then you don't look at where you come from. So there are two to tango, also in situations like this. How can it be two to tango in a situation like this? If, let's say, the woman wants to see the phone because she has a trauma of somebody that was with the phone and would spend a certain amount of time doing what they're doing on the phone. And you meet somebody and within 2 days, let me see your phone and all that. So there are two to tango in this phase too. How so? Well, first of all, there is somebody who brings the issue, who brings forth to the relationship this issue of show me your phone because this is like this, this is like that. And then there is the other side, response. Now, I can tell that a while ago when that happened to me, my automatic trigger was of being scrutinized and being judged. And that was for me a trigger. But it took me a little while, but then I realized that it was a trigger. And that trigger initially drew a response because I wasn't aware yet that it was a trigger. It drew a reaction, not a response. It drew a reaction that was like a knee-jerk reaction because of my pattern of being triggered by judgment, by scrutinization, if there is such a word, when I was a child or when I was, so I went through that and I, so it's like what I was talking about, the trigger type true time. When we get triggered, if we don't realize that we're triggered, most of the time we react. Somebody triggered you, you go back. You respond back to them with fierce and, let's say, anger, or you retract into your own little cubbyhole because you were judged and scrutinized, and now you starting to doubt yourself, and this is still a trigger reaction. Trigger doesn't mean that I'm going to get angry at you and I'm going to act in a certain way, but it also means retracting, self-doubt. All this is fear. All this, the umbrella is fear. And so the umbrella is fear, and then there was a reaction. But then it's from the moment that we get triggered, that many times when we get triggered and we don't realize that, we are operating on a knee-jerk reaction. And that knee-jerk reaction pulls out sentences or words that come from the way that we are brought up, you know, from the teaching, and take the pacifier, and it's all tied into this. Until the moment that we realized that we got triggered. So this is what happened to me, you know, and the more practice it is, the shorter realization time it becomes. So I'll get triggered. At first, I would react because that kind of a trigger triggered something from my story, not from her story, from my story, to be in a certain place. And then I realized that I got triggered. And once I realized that I got triggered, everything made sense. And not just everything made sense, but now I was in a different place where there was the need to be attached emotionally to what he said, she said, how, what happened. It was just what it is. And so it's two to tango because it's also the reaction. So there is the action, the first action, or the first thought that came into action by the woman that thought somebody's cheating on her, or show me your phone. Then there is the reaction or the response. The reaction or response can create one of two things. The reaction or the response can create further distance or closeness. So in a sense, well, it depends on both people, but if somebody brings this up, the other person falls into this and continues to react and react from defensiveness or being defensive or you know, being triggered and being fear defensive, react like that, then the first person that brought this goes more into this, and suddenly you created something out of nothing. Now, this is the Abracadabra show. We create what we speak. Abracadabra is in Aramaic, literally means I create what I speak. So we create everything that we speak. So if we are not conscious, or we're not, let's say, we don't become aware soon enough, or at all, of a certain action that we did, that we got triggered in something, then we are creating what we're speaking, because we are speaking out of a place of a need, out of a place of fear. And now we are putting the energy of fear and need and anger into our words. And that creates a chain reaction. We create a chain reaction. I don't know. We just create a chain reaction. We create a chain reaction that it is growing and it's growing and it's, and suddenly it becomes out of proportion. And really was creating about nothing. So this program is to create what we speak and what I feel that I'm here to offer and to bring as an offering are the tools, and actually I had access to the tools to help and to guide into accessing these tools that are so part of you, that you have so much power. I'm not talking about egoic power, I'm talking about power of who you are. And so, where we've been today is to look at where you are, who you are, try to be conscious of when you get triggered, and realize that you were triggered, and that way you can pull yourself out from a situation and just look at things how they are, as they are, with no emotional attachments, just for you to look at it as a map. If you want to talk about this more, I'll be more than happy to. I'm a spiritual mentor and a coach for women who desire and are ready to reclaim their power. Facebook is facebook.com/bodysoulsound, and the webpage is bodysoulsound.com. And today we'll have also an alignment session for women, sound, herb, and energy journey. Today at 5 p.m. at Follow Your Heart here in the Valley. So with that said, we are at the end already. So here's again, towards the end, Liron Ben Shimon, Pisa Becha, and she's another Israeli singer, really great singer. And I will see you next week. Much love, and I'll see you soon, or I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
וקולך מפייס, מנפץ מחסומים איתנים, מזרזת זרימה של דם, של זימה, טורפת את כל הקלפים. צמחים מטפסים על קירות תאומים, גם אני מחפשת מקום שצמח, אם אין בי מלבד שממה. תגישו כי מאסתי באותם.
You're listening to Abracadabra. Create what you speak. You're listening to Abracadabra. Create what you speak with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.